Hi there, and welcome to the fifth story in our Campfire Stories series. Today is dark and thundery, and I want to tell you a story that takes us right into the heart of summer. Our story today is inspired by one young listener who's a big fan of wolves, and I must say his choice is a good one. Wolves are everywhere in stories from the indigenous peoples in North America. And our story today is about one unlucky wolf who let a silly rabbit get the better of him. You might know that before dogs became dogs, they were wolves, living in the wild forests and mountains of the world. But some of those wolves, in a time long ago, before people can remember, some of those wolves became curious about people. People hunted and lived inside warm houses and made fires that kept the monsters away at night. This is a story from those faraway times when people were still new to the world. Wolves were old spirits already then, and you know that saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks? Well, that saying never applied to wolves. And this is a story about a curious wolf who wanted to get closer to human beings. Long ago, in the vast forests of the great Canadian wilderness, lived a family of hunters at the edge of a lake. Around the other side of that lake lived a little animal who we've already heard much about. His name is Rabbit, the trickster, with his big ears and wide eyes. Rabbit had a neighbor, and his neighbor in those days was a shaggy old wolf. The family of hunters had two pretty girls, and they looked kind with open hands and minds, and the old wolf was curious about them. "Let's go and visit those pretty girls over there," he said to Rabbit one day, when they were at the edge of the lake and could see smoke rising from the fire in the middle of the hunters' camp. "All right," said Rabbit. And they started off. When they got to the girls' house, they were invited in, but the girls took a great liking to Wolf and paid all their attention to him while Rabbit sat in a corner. The girls shared big dishes of roast meat with the wolf and combed his beautiful fur, and they played games and laughed and sang and danced. Rabbit, of course, was not pleased one bit, and he soon said, "It's late. We'd better be going back." "Oh, let's stay a while longer," Wolf replied, and they remained until very late in the day. Rabbit was not well pleased at all. He was tired of waiting and tired of being ignored. He felt an itch in one of his ears, and he knew that that itch meant trouble. Trouble for the wolf. Rabbit meant to play some tricks on the wolf to get even with him. Before they left, Rabbit had an idea. He found a chance to speak to one of the girls so that Wolf could not overhear, and he said, "The creature you've been fawning over is nobody very special. He's a beast of burden, like a horse, nothing more." "I think you're lying," the girl replied. "I am not. You shall see me ride him up here tomorrow." "If we see you ride him up here," the girl said with a laugh, "then I might believe you." When the two left the house, the girl said, "Come again tomorrow," with a wink and a smile and a wave. The next morning, Wolf was up early, knocking on Rabbit's door. "It's time to go visit those girls again," he puffed, eager to be going. Rabbit groaned. "Oh, I was up all night. I didn't sleep a wink," he answered, "and I hardly feel able to go." Wolf kept urging him, and finally Rabbit said, "If you will let me ride on your back, I might go along to keep you company." Wolf agreed to carry him on his back, but then Rabbit said, "Oh, but your fur is too smooth and fine. All that brushing yesterday, you know. I'll never hang on. I'll slide off in an instant, unless you let me put a rope around you so I could hang on." When Wolf agreed to this, Rabbit added, "Oh, and do you mind if I put a blanket across your back as well? My bones ache so much it would be much more comfortable for me. Although Wolf objected at first to all these things, he gave in, rolling his eyes when Rabbit said he did not think he could hold on and manage to get as far as the girl's house without them. The wolf so much wanted to visit the kind family of hunters again. Finally, Rabbit wanted to put on spurs. "Oh, no, I'm too ticklish. If you spur me in the sides, I'd howl. Besides, we're going to look ridiculous," Wolf protested. "I won't spur you with them," Rabbit promised. "I'll hold them away from you. But it would be nice to have them on. They're brand new, and I've never worn them once. I'd like to see how they fit." At last Wolf agreed to this, but he repeated, "I am very ticklish. You mustn't spur me." "When we get near the girl's house," Rabbit said, "we'll take everything off you and you walk the rest of the way." That comforted the wolf a little, who above all else hated to look like a fool. But Rabbit was his friend, and he trusted him, and so they started down the path, Rabbit proudly riding upon Wolf's back. When they were nearly in sight of the house, Rabbit raked his spurs into Wolf's sides, and Wolf galloped full speed right by the house. "Those girls have seen you now," Rabbit said. "How about I'll tie you here and go up to see them and try to explain everything? I'll come back after a while and get you. I'd hate for them to think the worse of you because of how things looked." Wolf spluttered and puffed in indignation, but Rabbit went back to the house and said to the girls, "You both saw me riding my old horse, did you not?" "Yes," they answered. And he sat down and taught them a new song, played at dice, and had a lovely time. The hunters fed him so much he swelled to twice his size, and he rolled about like a pudding on their soft, lovely rugs and furs. After a while, Rabbit thought he ought to untie Wolf, and he started back to the place where he was fastened. He knew that Wolf must be very angry with him by this time, and he thought up a way to untie him and get rid of him without any danger to himself. He found a thin, hollow log, and began beating upon it as if it were a drum. Then he ran up to Wolf, as fast as he could go, crying out, "The hunters, they've decided to hunt for you! You heard their drum! The hunters are after you!" Wolf was very much frightened of the hunters then. He had seen their sharp arrows and spears hanging on the walls of the house the day before. "Let me go! Let me go! I can run from them!" he shouted. Rabbit was purposefully slow in untying him, and had barely freed him when Wolf broke away and ran as fast as he could into the woods. Then, with a chuckle and a shake of his ears, Rabbit returned home, laughing to himself over how he had fooled Wolf, and feeling very satisfied that he could enjoy the company of their new friends without Wolf's interference. Near the girl's house was a large peach orchard, and one day they asked their new friend the rabbit to shake the peaches off the tree for them. They went to the orchard together, and he climbed up into a tree to shake the peaches off. While he was up high in the tree, his big ears picked up on a familiar sound. It was the wolf, and he was muttering to himself in a way Rabbit didn't like at all. "Oh, Rabbit, old fellow," the wolf was saying, "I'm going to even the score with you. You'll have no peace until I get my revenge." Rabbit was all goosebumps all over, and his fur stood on end until he looked like a dandelion puff. He raised his head and pretended to be looking at some people off in the distance. Then he shouted from the treetop, "Hey, hunters! Here's that creature wolf you've been hunting for. I think he's nearby." At this, Wolf took fright and ran away again. Some time after this, Rabbit was resting against a tree trunk that leaned towards the ground. When he saw Wolf coming along towards him, he stood up so that the bent tree trunk pressed against his shoulder. "Oh, I have you now," said Wolf, but Rabbit quickly replied, "No, wait! Do you see this tree I'm holding up? It's helping to hold the sky up, and if I should budge, the sky will fall on us and kill us. The hunters said so. I found one of them holding it up this morning, but he was tired, so he asked me to take over, and he could go get us something to eat. Oh, it's hungry work holding up the sky. If you help me, I can run and tell them that you're helping. Then maybe they'll think more kindly of you, and they won't try to hunt you any more. The hunters brought in 5 fat deer this morning. I'm sure they'd share the feast with you, once they know you're a friend. Wolf's greed and growling belly was excited by this. Ooh, 5 fat deer, how lovely, he thought. And he said that he was willing to hold up the tree. He squeezed in beside Rabbit, who said, "You must hold it tight, or it will fall down." Rabbit then ran off, laughing to himself quietly, and Wolf stood with his back pressed hard against the bent tree trunk. He pressed, he strained, he puffed, he huffed, until his knees were shaking and sweat was dripping from the end of his nose. Finally, the wolf decided he could stand it no longer. He jumped away quickly, his paws over his head, so the tree would not fall upon him. Then he saw that it was only a leaning tree rooted into the earth. He banged on it. It stood fast. There was never any danger. "That rabbit is the biggest liar," he cried. "If I catch him, I'll fix him." After that, Wolf hunted for Rabbit every day. Rabbit, who knew if Wolf caught him, he'd be in big, big trouble, made himself very hard to find. Rabbit's fur is just the color of evening light and shadows. His eyes grew wider if possible, and every moment of every day he kept his eyes and ears alert for the wolf. But even rabbits sometimes need to rest, and at times like that it's good that their brains remain quick even when their feet are still. And one day, Wolf found him lying in a nice grassy place a little way off from the lake. He gave a short, sharp bark, and he was about to spring upon him when Rabbit said, "My friend, I've been waiting to see you again." "Uh-huh," said Wolf, thinking there's no way he's going to fall for yet another trick. Rabbit said, "I have something good for you to eat. The hunters killed a moose out there in the reeds by the edge of the lake. If you wish, I'll help you drag it out of the reeds to a place where you can make a feast of it. The hunters have gone for rope. They won't be back for a long while." "All right," Wolf said, thinking quickly. He knew he wanted his revenge, but even he knew that there was better eating on a moose than there was on a puny little rabbit, and he followed Rabbit out to the reeds, where a moose was lying, asleep. "I'm not strong enough to move the moose all by myself," said Rabbit. "So I'll tie its tail to yours. You pull, and I'll help you by pushing from the other end." Wolf thought about this for a second, and he decided that it sounded like a very good idea. Rabbit tied their tails together carefully so as not to awaken the big, powerful moose. Then he grabbed the moose by the ears as if he were going to lift him up. The moose woke up, jumped to its feet, and ran away, dragging Wolf behind. Wolf struggled frantically to free his tail, but all he could do was barely reach the ground with his long, outstretched claws. "Pull, pull with all your might," Rabbit shouted after him. "How can I pull with all my might," Wolf cried, "when I'm not standing on the ground?" By and by, however, Wolf got loose, and then Rabbit had to go in hiding for a long, long, long time. And there you have it. The trickster rabbit strikes again. Do you have someone in your family who's always playing pranks? Is it you? Let me know the best prank you've ever seen done. Send me a message. And until next time, goodbye.